Chapter 11. The Accepted Heights Village response to this kind of assignment was to spend at least an hour complaining about it and commiserating with other members of the management team about how unfair it was to pile an assignment like this on top of an already enormous workload. Celeste was notorious for not doing this. She'd been given a large number of chances, but Annabelle Pritchard was willing to give her one more chance to really join the team. She rang Celeste's office. "Social services," Celeste answered. "Isn't that something about what happened to Doria Klepper?" "It's very sad," said Celeste. She was about to tell Annabelle that she would not need to stop by her office and get chart notes on Doria when Annabelle said, "And I think you've gotten a really unfair deal being made to do this report. I've got all I can manage and still get home on time to have dinner ready for Joel, and I haven't just moved into a new house like you have." Instead of taking this opportunity to vent and get some things off her chest, Celeste said, "Thanks, Annabelle. I'd like to stop over and collect her chart notes in a few minutes." There was a long and distinct pause from Annabelle's side of the phone. She shook her head from side to side and then said, "All right," in a hushed and rebuffed tone. Celeste didn't pick up on it, although she felt it register. "I have to make two other calls, and I will collect everything I need in one swoop, and then I probably won't have to speak to anyone else as long as all the notes are in order." "Who would you want to speak to?" Annabelle felt tension responding to Celeste's plan. "I don't know yet," said Celeste. "I have to read the notes, but I'll be able to let you know by break." Then she put down the receiver, and Annabelle heard the click in her ear. Who did she think she was? The FBI? Break was a necessary pause in the day's work. It was unusual for anyone to miss break, and they were always a topic for discussion if they were not there. Celeste was a regular, but sometimes her attendance at break could be a little spotty. On most days, there were six women who went to break together, and they all reported to Heidi, who always attended break. It would be kind to say that Heidi was portly. It would be more accurate to describe her as shapeless. She had come through the ranks at height and knew every aspect of its operation. She also made sure that in her building, or her team, she was the only one who had direct access to the CEO. Height Village was an Episcopal facility, so there was nothing she could do about the influence of the clergy, and Dennis Brennan handled the outside investment and fundraising and the all-important internal friendship fund. But Heidi Kleiss ran all the rest. At break, she held court. Celeste was teased about any number of things at break. Some of it, like her politics, was just for fun, but some of it, like her appearance, had an edge that only a group of women could uniquely create. Except for Heidi, whose fashion sense was not to be referred to, all the women dressed like a mixture of Martha Stewart and Christine Todd Whitman. As far as these women were concerned, Celeste dressed like Janis Joplin. To top it off, she was forever spilling something on herself. She simply tried to do too many things at once, as far as they were concerned. It was inevitable that her result was often disaster. The approved fare was tea or perhaps a yogurt. Celeste was not there for the start of break. There was some initial talk about who was making what for dinner. Trudy had gotten a new set of Longaberger baskets, and she described them and her options for enhancement to accent her new dining room furniture. There were appropriate oohs and ahs from around the table. Then Heidi said, "Anyone know if Celeste is coming?" There was an amused silence. Then Alice Malone said, "Maybe she's cooing on the phone with Ron. They haven't seen each other all day." This was said to exaggerated eye rolls that brought chuckles from around the table. Vivian said, "I don't give Charlie any encouragement until Thursday night. Then I make him wait. I get such good meals out on Fridays." She grinned. All the girls at the table laughed. "I discourage Joel whenever I get the chance, and now he's a good boy who takes the hint," said Annabel. More laughter as Celeste entered the room with her yogurt. "Hi, everyone." Everyone took note of the flowered print loose skirt that Celeste was wearing with an autumn rust jacket. She was clashing seasons. Didn't she realize that? Vivian said, "Did you have a phone call?" More laughter that Celeste did not understand. "I just lost track of time," said Celeste. No one answered. Celeste ate her yogurt quickly. It seemed like 4 large spoonfuls finished it, and she took them one after the other. Then she turned to Heidi. "I should have that report by 1:30. Heidi smiled and said, "That's wonderful, Celeste." Then, mimicking the words that Celeste had been singled out for by the last state inspection, "Highly efficient." It brought to mind for the rest of the girls that they had not been singled out and that she was the one protecting them. It kept everything the way she liked it. Celeste turned to Annabel. "I just need to have a quick word with the charge nurse." "Just a small hole in the log, 65 minutes before the accident," said Celeste. "Let's refer to it as an incident," said Heidi. "Accident could be construed as an admission of liability." There were bobbing heads and agreeing nods around the table. Then Heidi got up. Break time was officially over.